Homeland, Chapter 18, The Back Room.
"My greetings, faceless one," the High Priestess said, pushing past Alton into his private chamber in Sorcerer.
"And mine to you, Mistress Verna," Alton replied, trying to keep the fear out of his voice. Verna Duarden coming to see him at this time had to be more than a coincidence. "What act has brought me the honor from a visit from a mistress of Arachtanilith?"
"No longer a mistress," said Verna. "I have returned to my home."
Alton paused to consider this news. He knew that Dinan Duarden had also resigned his position at the academy.
"Matron Malice has brought her family back together," Verna continued. "There are stirrings of war. You have heard them, no doubt."
"Just rumors," Alton stuttered, now beginning to understand why Verna had come to call on him. House Duarden had used the Faceless One before in its plotting, in an attempt to assassinate Alton, of course. Now, with rumors of war whispering throughout Menzoberranzan, Matron Malice was reestablishing her network of spies and assassins.
"You know of them?" Verna asked sharply.
"I've heard a little," Alton breathed, careful now not to anger the powerful female. "Not enough to report to your house. I did not even suspect that House Duarden was involved until now, when you informed me." Alton could only hope that Verna had no detection spell aimed at his words. Verna relaxed, apparently appeased by the explanation.
"Listen more carefully to the rumors, Faceless One," she said. "My brother and I have left the academy. You are to be the ears and eyes of House Duarden at this place."
But, Alton stuttered. Verna held up a hand to stop him.
"We know of our failure in our last transaction," she said.
She bowed low, something a high priestess rarely did to a male. "Matron Malice sends her deepest apologies that the unguent you received for the assassination of Alton de Vere did not restore your features to your face." Alton nearly choked on the words, now understanding why an unknown messenger had delivered the jar of healing salve some 30 years before. The cloaked figure was an agent of House Duarden, come to repay the Faceless One for his assassination of Alton. Of course, Alton had never even tried the unguent. With his luck, it would have worked and would have restored the features of Alton de Vere.
"This time, your payment cannot fail," Verna went on. Though Alton, too, caught up in the irony of it all, hardly listened. "House Duarden possesses a wizard staff, but no wizard worthy to wield it. It belonged to Nalfane, my brother, who died in the victory over De Vere."
Alton wanted to strike out at her. Even he wasn't that stupid, though.
"If you can discern which house plots against House Duarden," Verna promised, "the staff will be yours. A treasure indeed for such a small act."
"I will do what I can," Alton replied, having no other response to this incredible offer.
"That is all Matron Malice asks of you," said Verna, and she left the wizard quite certain that House Duarden had secured a capable agent within the academy.
"Dinan and Verna Duarden have resigned their positions," said Alton excitedly as the diminutive matron mother came to him later that same evening.
"That is already known to me," replied Cynife Honnette.
She looked around disdainfully at the littered and scorched room, then took a seat at the small table.
"There's more,"
Alton said quickly, not wanting Cynife to get upset about being disturbed over old news.
I had a visitor this day, Mistress Verna Duarden herself."
"She suspects?"
Matron Cynife growled. No, she does not suspect. Quite the opposite. House Duarden wishes to employ me as a spy, as it once employed the Faceless One to assassinate me."
Cynife paused for a moment, stunned, then issued a laugh straight from her belly.
"Ah, the ironies of our lives," she roared.
"I had heard that Dinan and Verna were sent to the academy only to oversee the education of their younger brother," remarked Alton.
"An excellent cover," Cynife replied. "Verna and Dinan were sent as spies for the ambitious Matron Malice. My compliments to her."
"Now they suspect trouble," Alton stated, sitting opposite his matron mother.
"They do," agreed Cynife.
Massage patrols with Drizzt, but House Duwarden has also managed to plant Dinan in that group.
Then Massage is in danger, reasoned Alton.
No, said Sinifei. House Duwarden does not know that House Hanet perpetrates the threat against it, else it would not have come to you for information. Matron Malice knows your identity.
A look of terror crossed Alton's face.
No, not your true identity, Sinifei laughed at him. She knows the faceless one as Gelruz Hanet, and she would not have come to Hanet if she suspected our house.
Then we have an excellent opportunity to throw House Duwarden into chaos, Alton cried. If I implicate another house, even Ben Ray, perhaps our position will be strengthened.
He chuckled at the possibilities.
Malice will reward me with a staff of great power, a weapon I will turn against her at the proper moment.
Matron Malice,
Sinifei corrected sternly. Even though she and Malice were soon to be enemies, Sinifei would not permit a male to show such disrespect to a matron mother.
Do you really believe that you could carry out such a deception?
When Mistress Verna returns, you will not deal with a lesser priestess with such valued information, foolish De Vere. You will face Matron Malice herself, a formidable foe. If she sees through your lies, do you know what she will do to your body?
Alton gulped audibly.
I am willing to take the risk, he said, crossing his arms resolutely on the table.
And what of House Hanet, when the biggest lie is revealed? Sinifei asked. What advantage will we enjoy when Matron Malice knows the Faceless One's true identity?
I understand, Alton answered, crestfallen but unable to refute Sinifei's logic.
Then what are we to do? What am I to do?
Matron Sinifei was already considering the next move.
You will resign your tenure, she said at length. Return to House Hanet within my protection.
Such an act might also implicate House Hanet to Matron Malice, Alton reasoned.
It may, replied Sinifei, but it is the safest route. I will go to Matron Malice in feigned anger, telling her to leave House Hanet out of her troubles. If she wishes to make an informant of a member of my family, then she should have come to me for permission, though I'll not grant it at this time.
Sinifei smiled at the possibilities of such an encounter.
My anger, my fear alone could implicate a greater house against House Duwarden, even a conspiracy between more than one house, she said.
Obviously enjoying the added benefits, Matron Malice will certainly have much to think about and much to worry about.
Alton hadn't even heard Sinifei's last comments. The words about granting her permission this time had brought a disturbing notion into his mind.
And did she?
He dared to ask, though his words were barely audible.
What do you mean?
Asked Sinifei, not following his thoughts.
Did Matron Malice come to you?
Alton continued, frightened, but needing an answer.
30 years ago, did Matron Sinifei grant her permission for Gelruz Hanet to become an agent, an assassin to complete Helstvir's elimination?
A wide smile spread across Sinifei's face, but it vanished in the blink of an eye as she threw the table across the room, grabbed Alton by the front of his robes, and pulled him roughly to within an inch of her scowling visage.
Never confuse personal feelings with politics!
The tiny but obviously strong matron growled, her tone carrying the unmistakable weight of an open threat.
And never ask me a question such as that again.
She threw Alton to the floor, but didn't release him from her penetrating glare. Alton had known all along that he was merely a pawn in the intrigue between House Hanet and House Duwarden, a necessary link for Matron Sinifei to carry out her treacherous plans. Every now and then, though, Alton's personal grudge against House Duwarden caused him to forget his lowly place in this conflict. Looking up now at Sinifei's bared power, he realized that he had overstepped the bounds of his position. At the back end of the mushroom grove, the southern wall of the cavern that housed Mansiperanzan, was a small, heavily guarded cave. Beyond the iron-bound door stood a single room, used only for gatherings of the city's 8 ruling matron mothers. The smoke of 100 sweet-smelling candles permeated the air. The matron mothers liked it that way. After almost half a century of studying scrolls in the candlelight of Sorcerer, Alton did not mind the light, but he was indeed uncomfortable in the chamber. He sat at the back end of the spider-shaped table in a small, unadorned chair reserved for guests of the council. Between the table's 8 hairy legs were the ruling matron mother's thrones, all jeweled and dazzling in the candlelight. The matron mothers filed in, pompous and wicked, casting belittling glares at the male. Cinefe, at Alton's side, put a hand on his knee and gave him a reassuring wink. She would not have dared to request a gathering of the ruling council if she was not certain of the worthiness of her news. The ruling matron mothers viewed their seats as honorary in nature and did not appreciate being brought together except in times of crisis. At the head of the spider table sat Matron Benray, the most powerful figure in all of Mensaboranzan, an ancient and withered female with malicious eyes and a mouth unaccustomed to smiles.
"We are gathered, Cinefe," Benray said when all 8 members had found their appointed chairs. "For what reason have you summoned the council?"
"To discuss a punishment," Cinefe replied.
"Punishment?"
Matron Benray echoed, confused. The recent years had been unusually quiet in the Drow City, without an incident since the Tekendias-Freth conflict. To the first matron mother's knowledge, no acts had been committed that might require a punishment, certainly none so blatant as to force the ruling council to action.
"What individual deserves this?"
"Not an individual," explained Matron Cinefe. She glanced around at her peers, measuring their interest.
"A house," she said bluntly. "Dermen Nashers Bernan, House Duarden." Several gasps of disbelief came in reply, as Cinefe had expected.
"House Duarden?"
Matron Benray questioned, surprised that any would implicate Matron Malice. By all of Benray's knowledge, Malice remained in high regard with the Spider Queen, and House Duarden had recently placed 2 instructors in the academy.
"For what crime do you dare to charge House Duarden?"
asked one of the other matrons.
"Are these words of fear, Cinefe?"
Matron Benray had to ask. Several of the other ruling matrons had expressed concern about House Duarden. It was well known that Matron Malice desired a seat on the ruling council, and, by all means of the power at her house, she seemed destined to get it.
"I have appropriate cause," Cinefe insisted.
"The others seem to doubt you," replied Matron Benray. "You should explain your accusation quickly if you value your reputation."
Cinefe knew that more than her reputation was at stake. In Mensaboranzan, a false accusation was a crime on par with murder.
"We all remember the fall of House de Vere," Cinefe began. 7 of us now gathered sat upon the ruling council beside Matron Cinefe de Vere.
"House de Vere is no more,"
Matron Benmay reminded her.
"Because of House Duarden," Cinefe said bluntly.
This time, the gasps came out as open anger.
"How dare you speak such words?"
came one reply.
30 years,
came another.
"The issue has been forgotten."
Matron Benray quieted them all before the clamor rose to a violent action, a not uncommon occurrence in the council chamber.
"Cinefe,"
she said through the dry sneer of her lips,
"one cannot make such an accusation. One cannot discuss such beliefs openly so long after the event. You know our ways. If House Duarden did indeed commit this act, as you insist, it deserves our compliments, not our punishment. For it carried it out to perfection. House de Vere is no more, I say. It does not exist.
Alton shifted uneasily, caught somewhere between rage and despair. Cinefe was far from dismayed, though. This was going exactly as she had envisioned and hoped.
Oh, but it does, she responded, rising to her feet. She pulled the hood from Alton's head. In this person.
Gelruz?
Asked Machen Ben-Ray, not understanding.
Not Gelruz, Cinefe replied. Gelruz Hanet died the night House de Vere died. This male, Alton de Vere, assumed Gelruz's identity and position, hiding from further attacks by House de Arden.
Ben-Ray whispered some instructions to the matron at her right side, then waited as she went through the semantics of a spell. Ben-Ray motioned for Cinefe to return to her seat, then faced Alton.
"Speak your name,"
Ben-Ray commanded.
"I am Alton de Vere,"
Alton said, gaining strength from the identity he had waited so very long to proclaim.
"Son of Matron Cinefe, and a student of Sorcerer on the night House de Arden attacked."
Ben-Ray looked to the matron at her side.
"He speaks the truth,"
the matron assured her. Whispers sprang up all around the spider table, of amusement more than anything else.
"That is why I summoned the ruling council," Cinefe quickly explained.
"Very well, Cinefe," said Matron Ben-Ray. "My compliments to you, Alton de Vere, on your resourcefulness and ability to survive. For a male, you have shown great courage and wisdom. Surely you both know that the council cannot exact punishment upon a house for a deed committed so long ago. Why would we so desire? Matron Malice Duarden sits in the favor of the Spider Queen. Her house shows great promise. You must reveal to us greater need if you wish any punishment against House Duarden."
"I do not wish such a thing," Cinefe quickly replied. "This matter, 30 years removed, is no longer in the realm of the ruling council. House Duarden does indeed show promise, my peers, with 4 high priestesses and a host of other weapons, not the least of which being their second boy, Drizzt, first graduate of his class."
She had purposefully mentioned Drizzt, knowing that the name would strike a wound in Matron Ben-Ray. Ben-Ray's own prized son, Bergignon, had spent the last 9 years ranked behind the wonderful young Duarden.
"Then why have you bothered us?" Matron Ben-Ray demanded, an unmistakable edge in her voice.
"To ask you to close your eyes," Cinefe purred. "Alton is a Hanet now, under my protection. He demands vengeance for the act committed against his family, and, as a surviving member of the attacked family, he has the right of accusation."
"House Hanet will stand beside him?"
Matron Ben-Ray asked, turning curious and amused.
"Indeed," replied Cinefe. "Thus is House Hanet bound."
"Vengeance?"
another matron quipped, also now more amused than angered.
"Or fear? It would seem to my ears that the matron of House Hanet uses this pitiful De Vere creature for her own gain. House Duarden aspires to higher ranking, and Matron Malice desires to sit upon the ruling council. A threat to House Hanet, perhaps?"
"Be it vengeance or prudence, my claim, Alton de Vere's claim, must be deemed as legitimate," replied Cinefe, "to our mutual gain."
She smiled wickedly and looked straight to the first matron.
"To the gain of our sons, perhaps, in their quest for recognition."
"Indeed,"
replied Matron Ben-Ray, in a chuckle that sounded more like a cough. A war between Hanet and Duarden might be to everyone's gain, but not, Ben-Ray suspected, as Cinefe believed. Malice was a powerful matron, and her family truly deserved a rank higher than ninth. If the fight did come, Malice probably would get her seat on the council, replacing Sinifei. Matron Benrei looked around at the other matrons, and guessed from their hopeful expressions that they shared her thoughts. Let Honnête and Duarden fight it out. Whatever the outcome, the threat of Matron Malice would be ended. Perhaps, Benrei hoped, a certain young Duarden male would fall in battle, propelling her own son into the position that he deserved. Then the first matron spoke the words Sinifei had come to hear, the silent permission of Menzoberranzan's ruling council.
"This matter is settled, my sisters," Matron Benrei declared to the accepting nods of all at the table. "It is good that we never met this day."